Turn to John 15. John 15. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, look there at verse 11, and then we'll move on to chapter 16 and read a few verses there. But first of all, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. And tonight we are continuing our series on the personal spiritual life, which is the birthright of every born-again believer. And we've discussed the importance of the Holy Spirit and how we treat Him, and something we ought to be mindful of all the time. Am I grieving the Spirit? Am I resisting the Spirit? Am I quenching the Spirit? Or am I filled with the Spirit? And then we discuss the very real struggle that Christians, every Christian faces in dealing with the old nature and the struggle between the old and the new. Last week we discussed how to take some positive steps forward, and I'll just list those for you again. First, we must recognize the problem. Second, we must have positive goals. And I hope perhaps this week you set some positive goals and began taking some steps forward. You've got to plan to avoid temptation. You have to be honest with yourself. If you mess up, fess up. If you do wrong, get right. And so we must be honest with ourselves. We must appreciate the liberty we have in Christ. If a Christian sins, he does not lose his salvation. He might lose some fellowship, might lose some peace of mind, but you don't lose your salvation in Christ. You have liberty in Jesus. And live like it. Live like a free man in Christ. And then we need to mind spiritual things. Now tonight we're going to discuss one of the great benefits to the spiritual life. And I think it's important to understand there are benefits to the spiritual life. The spiritual life is not locking yourself up in a closet and spending 24 hours a day in prayer and giving it all your money away and walking around with a frown on your face to show that you're spiritual. There are real, tangible, enjoyable benefits to the Spirit-filled, spiritual Christian life. And one of those is joy, a real spiritual joy. The Christian can have an abiding spiritual joy. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It ought to be an obvious characteristic of the spiritual Christian. And not just at church, but all the time. There should be in us something. Hey, folks, listen, the world out there, most of the time, they're not very happy. They're not. And when I was a teenager, what attracted me to the only Christian I knew at the time was that he seemed to be happy. Todd seemed to have joy. And I definitely did not. And even as a teenager, here I'm 15, he's 16, and here I am looking up to him because I wanted something that he had. And so joy is something that ought to mark the child of God, and not just at church, but it ought to be something that is evident, something that we walk in, and it really is a benefit to living a spiritual life. See, the world offers joy in a bottle, but it doesn't last. The world offers pleasure, but it's only for a season. You see, God has something that is better for us, and that is real spiritual joy. Let me give you some thoughts tonight on walking in spiritual joy. First, let me give you four basic facts about spiritual joy. Number one, there is a difference between spiritual joy and earthly joy. Now, earthly joy is what we typically call happiness. Earthly joy is dependent on outside stimulation. Earthly joy has to be fed by our circumstances. Boy, I'm going to Six Flags. I have joy. I'm riding the roller coaster. I have joy.
I got a raise at work. I have joy. It's a beautiful day. I have joy. And those are all things to enjoy, but those things come and go. Spiritual joy is not based simply on our outward circumstance. It doesn't have to feed on that. Spiritual joy is something that can remain when you lose your job. Spiritual joy is something that can remain when it's raining out. And when you go to Six Flags and it's shut down. You see, joy is something that's not dependent on the roller coaster of life. Joy is something that exists on the inside. You know, earthly joys can fade. They can wither. Earthly joy requires material or costly things, pleasures or experiences. But any lost person can have those joys. You don't have to be born again to enjoy a roller coaster. You don't have to be born again to enjoy getting a raise at work. You don't have to be born again to enjoy a gorgeous 70 degree sunny day. But there is there's a difference between earthly joy and spiritual joy. But we have been born again, and Jesus promised us something that a lost person cannot have and will not have. And so therefore it can't be purely fed by our outside circumstances. Now, spiritual joy is a deep cheerfulness and gladness of heart that includes gratitude, thankfulness, a calm spirit, and hopeful anticipation. Spiritual joy is a direct result of knowing Jesus Christ. It's knowing that you're saved. It's knowing that you're on your way to heaven. It's knowing that your sins are forgiven. It feeds on, get this, it feeds on what God has done for us. Not just what is happening around us. What a great truth that is. I wish I could say I came up with it myself. But see, this kind of joy does not feed on circumstance. It feeds on what God has done for us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Spiritual joy is not dependent on circumstances. It does not fade. It can exist in poverty. It can exist in sickness. It can exist while we're having problems. It can exist during times of difficulty. Sometimes heavenly joy will take us to great heights. But heavenly joy can also exist in the depths. Spiritual joy is like ballast in a ship. Many folks don't realize that the ship that's floating in water actually has water inside of it too. They fill up those ballast tanks, and that allows the ship to be stable as it goes through the ocean. And when it hits a wave, you know, if it didn't have that ballast, it would sink. Joy is like the ballast. It helps us to keep us stable. When things are up, it's fine. When things are down, we don't go under. Joy is like a life preserver. When you're in up to your head, it keeps your head above water. Amen. Joy simply exists, and even in the depths, it helps us and still is there. And so it's different than earthly pleasure. Now, if all you have to rejoice in life is what your circumstances are, you have nothing different than a lost person has. But I want you to know that God has a spiritual joy that is available for us, and it's totally different than anything you could have enjoyed as an unsaved person. All right, the second truth is that spiritual joy is permanently available to us. Jesus said, "My joy I give unto you, and no man taketh it from you." If you don't have joy, no one stole it. All right? No one took it from you. You might have gave it away. But joy is something that is permanently available to us. If you don't have it, and you're saved, you can get it back. Amen? You can get it. I've lost it forever. No. Joy is something permanently available to the child of God. And if you don't have it tonight, you can get it back tonight. All right? Third fact is, we should understand that joy is not a foolish optimism without facts. You know, living it with joy is not going through life wishing for good things to happen. It's not being like a Pollyanna, you know, and it's not faking it. It's not something that's foolishly optimistic. It is based on certain facts. In other words, we know why we rejoice. We rejoice because of what God has done and has promised. It's not something off in La La Land we're making up. If you're the most rational person on earth, And you've got to have a reason to rejoice. You have reasons to rejoice based on fact, the facts of the Word of God. All right? The fourth fact I want to point out is that joy can flourish in many different types of personality. Believers who have a serious disposition can have the same spiritual joy as those who are extroverted, life of the party, extremely emotional types of personalities. Some have a deep abiding joy that is like a deep well inside of them. Others have an abiding joy that's like a fountain that just gushes out. And guess what? Joy is not dependent on your personality. You can have joy no matter if your personality is like mine and you go to the ball game and you just sit there and watch. Old preacher, you say, you men, you go to the ball game and you scream like Indians and then you come to church. Sorry, Brother Randy. You go to and then you come to church and you sit like wooden Indians. Well, when I go to the ball game, I sit like a wooden Indian too. But my wife goes to the game, she's screaming like a banshee. You know, the few years Joe played basketball, went to every game in Upward Basketball, and I'd sit there and watch, and I'd yell at Joe, "Joe, get the ball! Joe, watch out!" And Mrs. Raspberry, "Woo! Joe, go! Joe, go!" And just nonstop. Well, different personalities, opposites attract. And, I love people like that. And I love serious people too. I've realized that most of my close friends outside of this church are people that are emotional and upbeat and positive, and I think I just latch onto them because I'm not always that way. But you can have joy no matter what your personality is. Now, what are the benefits of joy? Well, joy is pleasing to God. I want you to think about this for a second. I've watched people for years. When I go to the store, I watch people. When I drive down the road, I watch the cars going the other direction. And I have seen, for example, at the store, here comes a dad with his teenage kid. And I'm going to have to walk away from the microphone, but here's the dad. He's walking through the store. And here's the teenager, 10 steps behind. What do you want to do? Want to go to the ball game?
I'd rather sit and play my video game.
And I've known dads, they try to do things with their kids. They'll take them to football games and baseball games and try to take them to the park. And what does the kid do the whole time? Complain. I don't want to do this. And I've often felt so sorry for fathers and mothers who try so hard to have fun with their kids and their kids show no joy. That's why many parents just give it up. I'll see you when you're 20 and you're asking me for money. That's how their attitude is. And I feel sorry for parents like that because that's not how it's supposed to be. Teenagers, you're not supposed to be that way. Your parents try to do stuff with you. You're supposed to at least act like you enjoy. I don't care if you went to a quilting bee. You sit there and you pick a quilt and you root for it. And I think about that. And when my kids were little, I'd say, "You want to go with me?" And they'd say, "Where are we going?" I said, "Does it matter?" "No, I guess not. Let's go." And we'd go. It didn't matter what we're doing. Maybe I'm running an errand. I just want my kids to enjoy being with me, whether they like it or not. Now, you think about that, and you think about how does God feel sometimes? He's got all these children. He blesses them every day. They never give thanks. All they do is complain. All they do is murmur. All they do is find fault. They never pray. They never express gratitude. But I want you to know that God loves to see joy in His children. He loves to see us rejoicing in Him. Because when we're rejoicing in Him, that shows we love Him and we love His Word and we love His fellowship and we love His worship. But boy, we come to church, we sit there, we don't want to sing the songs, we don't want to fellowship, we're just punching our time clock. And God looks down at us and thinks, "I do so much for you, can't you enjoy me?" In Psalm 27, David said, "Therefore I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto God. In Psalm 42, he said, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. Joy pleases God. And then secondly, joy gives spiritual strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why are we so weak as Christians? Why do we struggle so much? Because we don't have the joy that buoys us up. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But the pessimist is always ready to throw in the towel. Find that in Nehemiah as well. Here they're halfway done in the work. And all of a sudden the elders, the rulers of Judah, they said, we're tired. I'm paraphrasing. We're tired and there's much rubble. Well, man, there's less rubble than when you started. But pessimists, I mean, they're ready to get started, but as soon as things get hard and they get tired, they're ready to throw the towel in. But when we have joy, we have spiritual strength to persist through our difficult times. And then joy gives us a better testimony. The witness of a rejoicing person is more effective than the witness of someone who always has a heavy spirit. I already told you about the young man that I got saved through his testimony because I saw in him something better than what I had. If Christians are always sad, down, and gloomy, the world's looking for something better. They can get that anywhere. And so it's always a better testimony. And that's why Christianity spread in the first century. I mean, they're persecuting, they're poor as dirt, they're having illegal religion, they're being burned at the stake, and yet even while they're dying, they're praising God and showing joy, and Stephen falls down with his face like an angel and praises God as they're stoning him to death. You can't argue with that kind of a testimony. And then let me say that spiritual joy is a defense against temptation. In other words, happy Christians are less likely to go looking for happiness in the world. Now, I have a weakness. Chinese buffets. I just can't help it. I don't want to look behind the store. I mean, I love Chinese. I love Chinese buffet. I know it's not really even Chinese, probably. I still love it. And when I am full, no Chinese restaurant has any temptation for me. But if I'm hungry, I see every Panda Express, every Dragon Buffet, every Golden House, and they call to me, Preacher, Preacher, all you can eat. And I hear Mrs. Raspberry, she's my conscience, no. Now, the funny thing is, every time I eat at the Chinese buffet, I tell my family, don't let me eat at the Chinese buffet again. I'm like an addict. Don't let me do this again. And they say, okay. And we pull into the next one. You said not to let you. I know, but that was then. This is now. Let's go. Now, the point is, when I am not hungry, boy, no temptation. But when I'm hungry, man, it draws me. And you know what? When you're satisfied in Christ, the world has very little pull on you. It really doesn't. But when you're not satisfied on Christ, you'll be looking for satisfaction all over the place. And you're not going to find it. Joy helps me deal with temptation. All right, third main thought. How may joy be lost? We're talking about the benefits, what it is. How can joy be lost? Well, the most obvious way to lose joy is through sin. Sin in the Christian's life will always cost us joy. In Psalm 51, in David's great repentance over his great sin, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, that's important because David is one of those guys who gushes like a fountain. David, so upbeat, so energetic, emotional, strong, just a bundle of energy, and outgoing, extrovert. I mean, that's how David was. That's why so many men follow. That's why he had such a tremendous impact. But the thing that characterized David from his childhood on was a great joy in the Lord. Even as a boy out there watching the sheep, he's writing psalms of praise to just the joy of his life and the joy that he had in God. But when that sin came into his life, the joy disappeared. It was like the light going out. And when he came to repentance, he said, please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, wash me throughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Now, I guess some folks like being dirty and stinky and nasty, but that's not something I particularly enjoy. When I used to work on a freight dock, especially when I first started there, and I'd go in at 6 o'clock till 6 the next morning, and we had diesel forklifts, and I mean, they're just putting out diesel smoke all over the place, and I'd be sweating, and I'm handling dirty boxes and greasy tires and stuff, and I would come home, and I mean, I just would have, my face would be blackened, I'd be around my glasses, you know, and I'd take my glasses off, and I was like a reverse raccoon, and just dirt in my ears, and all in my skin, and you know what I did? I just went 2 or 3 days like that before I bothered to bathe. Went through some marriage problems back then, but we got those worked out. No, sir, I wanted to get home and get clean. You know, when a Christian is spiritual and they're really sensitive to the Lord, they don't like being dirty. They don't like having a dirty conscience. They don't like carrying things around for weeks at a time. They want to have a clear conscience. And joy is lost when we live in habitual sin and persist in sin. If you want joy, obey the Lord. Quit resisting Him. And there's no counseling, there's no prescription drug that'll fix that. There's only repentance that'll fix that. And then spiritual joy cannot coexist with pride, envy, resentment, bitterness, selfishness, or self-pity. When those kinds of negative emotions become strongholds in our life, joy is choked out. Same with stubbornness. Stubbornness is like witchcraft, God said. God's not pleased with stubbornness and haughtiness and pride, resentment, selfishness, self-pity. These are things that cost us joy. But joy flourishes in the unselfish, crucified heart. Spiritual joy is lost when we don't live by faith. Philippians 1 refers to your furtherance and joy of faith. Facing life with faith is a way to have joy. Y'all still with me? Faith brings joy. If we're afraid of life, if we're pessimistic, if we're not willing to trust God with our situation, then faith is not active and joy will not be present. Now, I've been saved 25 years, been pastoring for 16 years, and I can tell you, the most fun I've had as a Christian has been living by faith. And the most fun I've had in the ministry is starting things from scratch and trusting God to bless. There ain't nothing like it. Starting a church when all you have is a piece of paper, you've written down some goals and a name, and seeing God turn that into this. There ain't nothing like that. That's fun. That's rejoicing. Coming, you know, in this church, God starts with a desire to start a bus route. Next thing you know, you got people ready to drive and help. And next thing you know, you're seeing kids come to church and they're sitting in these pews. They're getting saved. Hey, it all starts out with someone that has just a thought in their mind. Then it turns into reality because of living by faith. There's nothing as fun as that. Going to the mission field, starting a church, stepping out by faith in whatever area of your life, and actually seeing God take care of you? Seeing prayers answered? I can't tell you how many prayers have been answered in this church. And I can just look around the room and see so many answers to prayer. And God providing. When we came here 16 years ago, we had our van and that podium. And we didn't even have offering plates. I had to go run to Dollar General and buy baskets to take up the offering because I didn't think about taking the offering up. We had a few old hymn books, and that was it. What happened, though? By faith, God provided. And there's nothing as fun as that. But Christians, they won't live by faith and never take steps by faith. It's always got to add up. It's always got to be there before they'll take a step of faith. They're missing out on a lot of the joy that comes in the Christian life. Something to think about. Spiritual joy is lost when we don't appreciate what God has done. Sometimes we simply neglect to show gratitude. We fail to stop and appreciate and give thanks. Now you can write this down, that grateful people are always happier than ungrateful people. If a person says, I'm unhappy, what's one thing I can do to become a happier person? Simple. Number one, start expressing gratitude daily. You will automatically become a happier person. It is impossible. You ever met a person that was always grateful for everything? They just wasn't happy. They don't coexist. So you've got to stop and appreciate what God has done. Worldliness also damages spiritual joy. It's foolish to think that the Spirit of God within us is happy when we're more like the world than we are like God. All right? Number four, how can we increase spiritual joy? All right? The Spirit of God, first we've got to realize the Spirit of God is one that gives us joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And so joy is something that God provides supernaturally to the believer. But He's also provided sources of joy that we can draw from. All right, let me give you a list. All right, number one, worship can be a source or a way to increase our joy. Worship. Now, for worship to become a source of joy, you have to engage in it joyfully. No one can make you sing. No, I mean, Brother Camp is one of the best song leaders you'll find in an independent Baptist church. It's a blessing. I love our music. I love our choir. I love the orchestra. And got a couple of guys going to start playing the guitar also as part of our orchestra. I love our music in our church. No one can make you sing. Well, if there are just more people singing, I'd sing. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Now, those who sing and pray and listen and fellowship, they get more out of the service. They put more in. Some people hang around and talk. Some kids go out and fellowship and play, and others just sit and stare at their phone. Guess who had more fun at church? Guess which one complains about having to go to church? The one who sits there and can't wait to get out. Who's the one that complains about the offering? The one who's not going to put anything in. Ever bother me to pass an offering plate? Because I want to give my offering. How else am I going to do it? I want to do it in church, and I want to do it right. And so we pass an offering plate. If you don't want to give, that's your business, between you and the Lord. If the ushers give you a dirty look, I'm sorry. I would try to tell them not to do that. But who gets the most out of church? Who goes home with a smile? Who says it's been good to be in the house of God today? The ones who had their eyes on Jesus, the ones who sang to Jesus, the ones who gave to Jesus, the ones who listened to the Bible as though Jesus was speaking, the ones who prayed to Jesus and listened for the still small voice of God in their hearts, those and who fellowship with other Christians, those are the ones who go home and say, man, we had a good time in church. I love my church. Now, how do you feel when you skip church? Huh? Let's just be honest. It's been a long time since I skipped church, but I still remember how it felt. I think, well, I don't think I can make it to church tonight. I'm just tired. And then you sit home and the whole hour during church, you feel out of place. And, you know, you don't feel any better. You feel guilty. So when I see the preacher next time, he's probably going to say, I missed you. Your conscience is bothered. You're not getting anything from the TV, spiritual. And so you sit there at home and you think that you're getting rest and getting what you need, but you're really not. You're really not. Now, if you're sick, you're sick. But I mean, sometimes Christians, they just wimp out. Well, hate to be so blunt, but that's how we do it sometimes. Sometimes things happen at work. Sometimes we just can't make it. And sometimes we just don't want to make it. But you're going to feel worse staying home than you would if you just came to church, sat there tired and listened to the message and sang the songs. And you go home after church and think, man, I did it. I was a good soldier. I feel good about myself. I got some spiritual food and it's a blessing. Just think about it. Now, some say, well, the music at church is boring. Let me say this, that nothing in the Bible says our music is to be entertaining. There is not a word in the Bible that teaches us to go to church for entertainment value. Not one. Now, I enjoy our music. I love sitting here and hearing the choir behind us. I love hearing Brother Dart play the trumpet and Mrs. Areza playing whatever that instrument is. I know the trumpet. That's the only instrument I know. I enjoy the piano and the organ and the guitar. But you know what? When we only had 10 people in this auditorium and we sang a cappella, we weren't singing to entertain each other. We were singing to Jesus. And when your heart is right and you don't go to church sitting there like you're waiting at a concert to be entertained, It's crazy, this stuff. A friend of mine sent me a link to a church where they had, in their worship service, they had a bunch of guys come out dressed like stormtroopers and do a stormtrooper dance during church. Well, stormtroopers might be okay in their place. Church ain't their place. At least if they had guns, they wouldn't hit anybody. Sorry, nerd joke there. Now, some say the music is boring, but nothing in the Bible says we go to church to be entertained. Our music is spiritual and to be sung to God. And the specials that we enjoy are designed to point our minds and hearts toward God. They're not for our entertainment. So worship is a way to increase joy if you engage in it joyfully. And I just decided a few years ago, years and years ago, actually, that I'm going to be in church a lot for the rest of my life. And I'm going to crack a smile sometimes, and I'm going to crack a joke sometimes, and y'all just got to deal with it. Amen. And Brother Cam wants to joke around a little bit every once in a while. That's fine, too. And if we want to laugh, and as long as we're reverent in the house of God, and as long as when it's time for preaching, we focus on the Word of God, that I want to enjoy being in God's house because I have a God who deserves my joy in His presence. Well, worship is a way to increase joy. Repentance is a way to increase joy. Sometimes the way to get it back is to repent. Exploring the Scriptures increases joy. In Jeremiah 15, He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Do you enjoy reading the Scriptures? Well, I live in the Bible. Preach from it 4 times a week, studying all the time. And I still enjoy. I started 2 Peter in my Sunday school class this morning. I've never taught through that book, and I'm enjoying my study of that book. And you'll find joy when you explore the Scriptures and learn the Scriptures. Spending time in prayer increases joy. And taking time to consider things will increase joy. Consider how great things He hath done for you. When's the last time you stopped and just praised the Lord for His blessings? Just think of all that He's done. Even the little things, it's so easy to forget. I was just thinking this afternoon, just stray thoughts come sometimes. It wasn't that long ago, a year ago or so, that I was walking with a cane. And I couldn't do hardly anything. I was in pain all the time. I'd go home and my legs and my feet and ankles and back were in such pain. And I just thank God. I don't know what happened. It just stopped. And I just praise the Lord, the cane's in the closet. You say, that's little. Not if you're the one dealing with it. You ever thank God? Where were you a year ago? Huh? And has He brought you through any tough times? Thank God for that. I just thank the Lord. And I think if we just stopped our busy lives and realized how good we've got it, how good God's been to us, that it would increase our joy because we would see how God has worked in our lives. You see, this is truly spiritual living. Joyful living as a Christian with a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Bible, a wonderful salvation, a life full of blessings, a grateful heart, an enduring faith, a positive outlook, and a worshipful existence. That is spiritual living. And joy is a big part of it. And if you don't have it, you can get it back because it's something God has permanently made available to every Christian.